You know, generally, when people think of God, many people believe that God can do anything. Many believe God can intervene in history, answer prayers, heal people, and accomplish things that, you know, are beyond natural explanation. But did you know that there are some things that an all-powerful God cannot do? In this podcast, I'm going to tell you at least 8 things that God cannot do right after this.
Welcome to the Scripture News Podcast with your host, Ray Pompa.
Okay, so let's get right into it. Number one, God cannot lie.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whithunto I sent it.
Now, God cannot lie because it would contradict his fundamental nature. And because God is perfect, the act of lying would be an imperfection and contrary to his nature. And because Jesus Christ has stated in Hebrews 13:18, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It would be a departure from his nature. And because God cannot lie, you can have confidence and assurance that when God says in Hebrews 7:25, when you come to Christ, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always makes intercession for them. So because God cannot lie, you can have confidence in his word, which brings us to the next thing that God cannot do. God cannot fail.
Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Did you know that at least 353 prophecies were fulfilled from the Old Testament when Jesus walked the earth? Did you know that 28 of those were fulfilled on the day that he was crucified? Let's take a look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, a book that was written 700 to 740 years before Christ was even born.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Psalms 22:16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the whipped have enclosed me.
They pierce my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.
Now, this is written over 700 years before Christ was even born. Can you see that about Buddha? Can you see that about Confucius? Can you see that about Muhammad? Can you? So we can be assured that when God said in the beginning, that everything that came after that, every promise and every prophecy in the past, and those still to be fulfilled, will be accomplished. Because God said that his word will accomplish that which he intended, and it won't return void. So God cannot fail, and we know that because of another thing that God cannot do. God cannot change.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his nature, his character, his holiness, his truth, his promises, his purpose will never change. So when you look around and you see how crazy the world is getting and how they try to redefine things like morality and biology, you can always refer to that infallible truth that is in the scriptures and stand on that rock that doesn't move or change and have confidence in the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the next thing that God cannot do. God cannot forsake you or abandon you.
There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant.
May the Lord our God be with us. May he never leave us or abandon us.
For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
So again, it would be a contradiction of his fundamental nature to abandon you, because he cannot lie. He cannot fail. He cannot change. So therefore, he cannot abandon or forsake you. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Psalms 145, verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. And the best news is that if we fail, we know that God is there to pick us up, because in 1 John verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which brings me to the next thing that God cannot do. God cannot stop loving you.
He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love.
And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
So by his very nature, as the scripture says, God is love. So for him to stop loving you would violate the very essence of who God is. It's no wonder that God gave his whole only begotten Son, as the scripture says, because he so loved the world. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Now people ask, if God is so loving, then why is there so much misery in the world? Well, the answer is that we are the ones causing the misery. That's why Jesus came forth from the Father to save us from our sins and from ourselves. God did not make you sin. The adversary wants you to think it's God's doing, but the scripture says that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Now in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is the way of death. Now there are a lot of people in this country and in the world that like to bring misery and death to people because they believe they know what's better than you do, how to run your life and what's best for you based on their own carnal understanding, but without any basis of knowledge or truth within them. Which brings me to the next thing that God cannot do. God cannot violate your free will.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood in whose land you dwell. But as for me of my house, we will serve the Lord.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
Now the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God cannot violate your free will because God is not a liar. God does not change. John, chapter 7, verse 17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the teaching whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own. God told Adam and Eve that they had a choice. Obey God and live, or disobey and die. And when he spoke to Adam and Eve, he was speaking to all humanity, that you have a choice. Obedience to him was to live with him forever, and to be disobedient is to be separated from God for eternity. Why? Because of another thing that God cannot do. God cannot tolerate sin.
But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Now, because of his perfect holiness, his absolute justice, and his protective love for his creation, sin is the direct antithesis, or just the opposite, of his nature. And his righteousness requires that he actively oppose and ultimately destroy it. And while he does not tolerate or condone sin, he does restrain his immediate wrath to give people time to repent. Now the scripture says, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Unfortunately, we know that for us to be perfect is impossible. But Jesus said, Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. which is why Jesus himself came forth from the Father in the form of the Son of Man in order to fulfill the law of God and live a perfect life without sin, which is impossible for man to do, in order that he could present himself a perfect sacrifice, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, 1 Peter 1:19, and then take upon himself our punishment, so that we could be reconciled back to God. And because God so loved the world, that brings us to the next thing that God cannot do. God cannot be unfair or impartial.
For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law.
And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law.
Send this to the chief musician and place it in the book.
David of the Old Testament times quotes to a scribe what God told him.
The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the peoples with equity.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table.
Can I just have the crumbs that fall off your table, sir?
Drink the wine and let the music play to the richest feast in all the land.
Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom.
Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame.
That in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted. Welcome to paradise, Lazarus.
Now God does not respect one person over the other. Rich, poor, Asian, African, European, Jew, Gentile, fat, tall, smart, Democrat, Republican, disability or no disability. It doesn't matter to God because he is no respecter of persons. God doesn't look on the outside of a person, but in the inside. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways. So there you have it. Eight things that an all-powerful God cannot do.
You overcame the world. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Are you ready to commit your life to Jesus, but not sure how? Maybe this will help.
You can say something like this. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. I need a Savior. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and that he rose from the dead on the third day. Forgive me of my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior now and forever. Amen.
Revelations 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Scripture News Podcast. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye for now, and God bless.